What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Gridiron Fantasy Football Podcast for Tuesday, July 13th, 2021. And I'm Chip, I'm your host, and thank you so much for listening today. If you're a new listener, thank you so much for joining us as well. If you'd like to share our podcast, you can find us over on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and Amazon Music. If you'd like to watch us, you can watch us over on YouTube at Gridiron Fantasy Football. So please do me a favor, hit subscribe, support the show, so you don't miss any more episodes this offseason. And speaking of that, if you are only a podcast listener, I haven't gone, I haven't ghosted y'all. It's just I've been on YouTube uploading mock draft videos. So if you're a podcast listener, you want to see those videos, please go over to YouTube and hit subscribe so you don't miss those. But also, if you are a podcast listener only, go over to YouTube and check it out. And then if you want me to continue to upload the audio for those mock drafts to the podcast, you can listen to it, let me know. I just don't want to make it boring for you guys. So I figured you can see what I'm doing on the screen as I'm doing the mock draft, kind of see my thought process. So if that's something you want to see uploaded so you can listen to it when you're in your car or if you're doing some yard work, whatever you're doing, you want to listen to it. It's easy for me to be able to upload that, but I figured I'll try to keep that to YouTube, just so you guys can see a visual of what I'm doing in real time. So with that being the case, today we're going to talk about my top sleepers for 2021. Now, when it comes to sleepers, how that's kind of defined, I define it as any player that's going to outperform their average draft position, meaning their ADP. And these are the guys that I have on my radar just because you always want to try to find ways to, if strategies change during the drafts and all that, you want to make sure you have players that you can kind of lean on, that you have a gut feeling about. And I have a few players in each position that I feel good about and what they could do and what they could bring. There might be a couple players that you probably don't agree with, but that's why we do these videos, because I love to hear your feedback and what you think on what possible sleepers that you may have. But, to begin with that, I want to start off with the quarterback position. And now I have three quarterbacks that I do think that have a chance to outperform their ADP. And the first quarterback I have on my list is Carson Wentz. Now, right now, his average draft position is 134 overall, and his QB ranking right now is on an average like a 22. I really do like Carson Wentz this year to be a bounce-back player. I think you can find huge value in him. What I like about it, he got out of Philadelphia. He's in clean slate. He's over in Indianapolis with his old offensive coordinator, Frank Wright. So with that being the case, when Frank Wright was the OC for the Eagles, Carson Wentz had one of his best seasons. I understand that he only played 13 games that year due to a torn ACL, but even that, when he missed three games, he still was the QB5. And I do think if he did finish the season and played all 16 games, he would have been probably the league MVP, and he would have taken Russell Wilson for the top quarterback that year. Russell Wilson played, the whole season. He only had 34 passing touchdowns. Carson Wentz played 13 games, and he was around 32, 33. So, definitely I think Carson Wentz would have been the top quarterback that year. We all know that he's dealt with a lot of injuries, and we do know the last time he did play all 16 games, he was a top 10 quarterback. So, with that being the case, he goes to a team that was ninth overall in total offense and 11th in passing offense. He has some pretty good supporting cast around him. I think he has Michael Pittman Jr. He has T.Y. Hilton. He has Trey Burton as a tight end, Mo'Ali Cox. He has Jonathan Taylor as the emerging star running back there, Nyheim Hines. So they have one of the top offensive lines. I think they're number two based on Pro Football Focus on their rankings. So there's a lot to like about Carson Wentz this year. Because he's playing behind a really good offensive line, the chance of him getting hit are going to be lessened. He's going to have more time to throw the ball. You don't have to worry about him trying to get out of the pocket and run for the ball, which will cause increased injury risk. But I like Carson Wentz a lot. And if he can play a full season and he can get his mind right, I think this is going to be a huge value on draft day if you're able to pick him up. So Carson Wentz is my first quarterback that I feel like is going to be a big sleeper this year. Now, my second one, it's a rookie. I'm going with Trevor Lawrence. So Trevor Lawrence right now has an average draft position at 104. His ranking is 14, which is pretty high for a rookie. But we know that, he is really the only rookie quarterback right now I feel confident in drafting and starting him. I play in two quarterback league, and usually I try to figure out what rookie quarterback I like. Like last year, I got Joe Burrow. Really liked the pick until he got hurt. But there's always going to be one of those, that one quarterback that generally is going to be the must rookie to own at the quarterback position. You know, everyone has pretty much talked to him as like he's a generational talent. I do believe so. I think he's the best quarterback out of, you know, college than, you know, Andrew Luck was there. And I think this is like the next generational talent when it comes to quarterback positions. So Trevor Lawrence, to me, I think going to the Jacksonville Jaguars, he's going to play under a college coach in Urban Meyer. So I think that allows the atmosphere to be a little more college-like, something that is an easier transition for him to the NFL. But we all know, because he's a rookie, he's going to have some growing pains. We know that, you know, we can't expect too much. We expect him, just like Joe Burrow or Andrew Luck, you expect these guys who are going to be day one starters, you expect them to go and just be a stud. But there's going to be some time, especially playing in that division, playing on a team that's still trying to figure out, you know, where their identity is, with Urban Meyer being the new coach. But when you look at a supporting cast, though, I mean, you got to think about it. You got James Robinson, right? You got Trevor Etienne, his old running back from Clemson. They have Carlos Hyde there. So they got solid running backs. They got DJ Chark. They got LaVisca Chenault. They brought in Marvin Jones. I mean, that's the pros of Trevor Lawrence this year and what he can do. Now, when it comes to what I'm nervous about, they have a really bad offensive line. I know that Trevor Lawrence is mobile, but it's really concerning to me that hopefully like he can be able to stay upright and not get hurt. We don't want to see what happened to Joe Burrow's last year happened to Trevor Lawrence. I know he's a bigger, you know, bigger quarterback, but I do believe that they're going to try to create plays because of the lack of offensive line help, that they're going to create plays, get him out of the pocket, maybe some RPOs and all those things to kind of help, you know, get him moving so he's not taking those hits. He can protect his body a little bit more. But and also, too, like he does have a pretty tough straight schedule in the regular season, but he has a schedule that's pretty good in the playoffs. So if everything goes right with the supporting cast, with the new offense, I wouldn't be surprised, you know, that he is, you know, he is ranked 14, and I can see him being a top 10 quarterback this year if everything goes according to plan. I mean, there's so much talent around him that I think that he does have that opportunity. So, you know, is he a guy that I'm going to pick in a one quarterback league? Probably not. He's going to be more of a guy that I'm going to target in the two quarterback league. But, you know, just like anything else, he could be a good streamer for this year if you decide to go elsewhere for quarterback. But I do like Trevor Lawrence this year. Now, my third quarterback, you know, please bear with me. I have Daniel Jones as my third sleeper this year, right? So his average draft position right now is 180. His average ranking is at 25. So he's a guy that really nobody's really looking at as a contributor this year in fantasy. You know, he may have to be in a two quarterback league, but in a one quarterback league, he's probably going to be a guy that's not going to be drafted. He's a guy that you're probably going to stream if you are on a bye week and all that. But let me just hang with me and kind of listen to all this stuff, right? So I know this is probably the biggest risk for a sleeper this year when it comes to the quarterback position, but he has been pretty average as a quarterback, you know, as a starter. You know, obviously he has the infamous trip over my own shadow last year when he was almost about to score a touchdown. He just trips and falls. I mean, that's always going to live with him until the end of his career and beyond that. But, you know, that he is, the pros of that is he's a dual threat quarterback. I love those type of quarterbacks. I try to go after those quarterbacks in my drafts because I like the rushing ability. I like the fact that he can get me yards on the ground and in the air. But the thing is, too, is that this is his second season in Jason Garrett's offense. He should feel more comfortable. He has bulked up this year, too, in the offseason. So I do think that there's some possible pros there. And obviously, he gets Saquon Barkley back. That's a huge for him. And then they added Kenny Galladay in free agency, and they drafted Kadarius Toney, right, in the first round in the draft this year. So he has so much talent. I've never seen a team, other than like maybe the Bucs or some other players or other teams that have so much talent. I mean, there's so much depth there. Like, that's not even including Evan Ingram at tight end. That's not including Darius Slayton, Sterling Shepard. I mean, this team is loaded all across the board. I cannot imagine Daniel Jones I'm not saying he's going to be a top 10, top 5 quarterback, but it's based on him outperforming his ranking at 25. I do think he can do that, you know, but the cons about it is that they have one of the worst offensive lines. I mean, they're bottom of the pack in strength of schedule as well. So with Daniel Jones, there are a lot of pros there, but then when you look at the strength of schedule and the offensive line, that could be a hindrance to him. But I'm not seeing that he's going to be a guy that's going to be a top five quarterback. I think he's a guy that will outperform his ADP. You know, he has finished as the 24th quarterback overall in fantasy rankings the last two seasons as a starter. You know, he hasn't played a full season yet either. So I think but there's a lot of positive there. So for me, Daniel Jones, I don't think it's a huge risk there. I think he has the potential to be pretty good. If he can't get it done this year with the talent that he has around him, then he's a guy that's just going to be one of those, I'm going to put him on my bench. He's going to be a bye week fill-in. And that's kind of the type of player he's going to be. But I want to believe in the good of the fact that there's a lot of pros and a lot of things leaning in the right direction for Daniel Jones. So for me, he's my third and last quarterback sleeper for this year. Now moving on to the running back position. My first running back I love a lot this year is Mike Davis. Now Mike Davis's average draft position is at 52. He's ranked at 24 this year. You know, last year, we know what we're getting with Mike Davis, right? We saw him take over Christian McCaffrey. He finished last season as an RB2. RB12. Sorry about that. And then, you know, last season, he ended the season with 642 yards rushing with six touchdowns. He gave you 59 receptions on 70 targets with two receptions as for touchdowns. And, you know, last year, he had 11 targets, or he topped in red zone targets and has 11 carries inside of five. And, you know, that was with the Carolina Panthers. So he was looked at when he was there near the end zone in the red zone for the Panthers. You know, he converted those inside the five carries, those 11 carries into five touchdowns. So he definitely has a good conversion rate when it comes to that. Now, his upside is that now he's went to the Atlanta Falcons. There's not really any competition for him. And the Falcons have the most unaccounted for carries in the league, right? So, you know, there's not really anybody who's going to really threaten him for touches. I think that we can see that he can be a all-around back. I know that last year with the Falcons, they brought in Todd Gurley. There was Brian Hill. There's Ito Smith. All those guys that kind of contributed a little bit. But I don't think Mike Davis needs that. I think Mike Davis is shown he can be the lone back. And with that being the case, I think that he has a huge, you know, ability to be a top, you know, top guy this year, top 12, even maybe above that. But the only problem is with the Falcons is, you know, obviously Julio Jones goes to the Tennessee Titans, right? So they got Calvin Ridley. They got Russell Gage. They do got Kyle Pitts. But the problem was that the running backs did not get a lot of targets out of the backfield. So that's the only thing about that. Both Julio Jones going to Tennessee, do they try to convert, you know, some of those targets to the running back position? We'll get to be determined. But I do think that because they lost Julio Jones, somebody needs to take, you know, some of the initiative to have more of those targets. So hopefully that turns into Mike Davis being the guy. But I really do like Mike Davis this year. I think he's one of the guys I'm really going to target. And if you watched the mock draft from yesterday on Monday, if you're watching on YouTube, that I did a zero running back strategy. So I went after the top, you know, receivers and tight end for my first few picks. And then I looked at some of the running backs that were available there. So Mike Davis was a guy that I was really, really looking for in all my drafts so far, in my mock drafts. And I've been able to get him. I don't think I reached for him. I think that I got him in the appropriate way, in the sense of like where he was drafted. But really like Mike Davis. Now going on to my second running back, I have Chase Edmonds here of the Arizona Cardinals. Now his average draft position right now is 67 overall, and his ranking right now is around 27. You know, he was the RB25 last year. He did play in 16 games, and he rushed for 448 yards and one touchdown. Then he added another 53 receptions on 70 targets with four touchdowns. So now, think about this. The Cardinals are fourth in the league for unaccounted carries. So just like the Falcons, there's a huge discrepancy in carries that could go to Chase Edmonds, right? I understand they brought in Connor, but I don't see Connor being the guy that's going to take over Chase Edmonds. Chase Edmonds is more explosive. He's younger. I think that they're going to use James Connor in a way that will be a compliment to Chase Edmonds, but I think Chase Edmonds is the guy, you know, this year. And so I think that, you know, when it comes to that, I mean, Chase Edmonds was still fourth last year on the team in target share with 12.5%. You know, the Cardinals were top 10 in the rushing offense. When it comes to inside the five carries, Kenyon Drake was third in the league with 22 and nine touchdowns. So I think those carries will go to Edmonds. I think that he's shown that he does have the capability of being a star running back in that offense. And honestly, like additionally to that, Edmonds, you know, he did have 10 red zone targets and 9 receptions for 4 touchdowns. So he was used inside the red zone and in the end zone area and inside the 5. So I do think that helps boost his value there in a sense of what you're getting out of Chase Edmonds or what you could potentially get out of Chase Edmonds. So a guy that I think a lot of people are sleeping on, I think he is a good addition to your league and to your team, especially if you're going to do a top heavy draft in receiver or a tight end. These are the guys that I really think that are going to be there for you and that some of your league mates may not think about because they're not a big name. And, you know, with the unknowing of what's going to be with James Conner and then maybe the Falcons based on that offense, because the Falcons are a pass heavy offense. I mean, who knows, but I think these guys are going to definitely, you know, exceed their value there and where they're being drafted at. And my last running back in this is going to be Myles Gaskins, right? So Myles Gaskins his average draft position has been 49, and he's about around 22 in his rankings on where he's ranked at. These are all PPR rankings. You know, last year he finished as an RB28 and only played 10 games. So not a bad for a guy who didn't play 6 games. He rushed for 584 yards and 3 touchdowns. And then on the receiving part of it, he had 41 receptions on 47 targets for 388 yards and 2 touchdowns. I mean, there's a point last year that him and Alvin Kamara were the two top running backs and were getting a lot of targets. And so he's definitely a guy that can do all of it, right? He is a smaller back. He's very elusive. But, you know, the thing is, he only had 142 carries last year. And the Dolphins have 145 carries available. So I'm not saying that he's going to get all those carries and be over like 250 carries. But I think that even if he gets half of that, he could be a huge value in fantasy just because of opportunity. Because he's shown last year that he can be a really good back. So, you know, if he starts all 16 games, I mean, that's going to give him a huge opportunity. So I really like Myles Gaskins this year. And I'm honestly, I know they added Malcolm Brown this year from the Rams, but I really don't think that he's a guy that I'm really going to be worried about when it comes to, I think Myles Gaskins is a more complete back. I think he is, you know, this from a fantasy standpoint, he's a guy that I think that offense would be really good with Myles Gaskins as the full-time starter. And on top of that, the Miami Dolphins have a top 5 straight to schedule this year. So Myles Gaskins, I think, is going to be a very good value this year to somebody who's able to get him. So those are my top running backs that are sleepers this year. Now moving on to my wide receivers. Now, when I look at wide receiver, I try to figure out, you know, what's available in targets, what's the opportunity, how's their average depth of target, their target share, what's the available targets, you know, what are they going to be, are they solidified as a starter? Like all these things, I think, play a role in when you look at wide receivers. And so my top wide receiver right now is Laviska Shenault. I think that he showed a lot last year that he definitely is a very talented receiver. You know, so far right now, he's been drafted around 112. His rankings at wide receiver 43. You know, last year he finished as the wide receiver 46. He gave you 58 receptions on 79 targets for 600 yards and 5 touchdowns. You know, this was an interesting stat to me. He also gave you 18 rush attempts for 91 yards. So he was pretty much the only wide receiver in the Jacksonville Jaguars that had any rush attempts. So that shows us that they want to use him in all different ways, and he's very dynamic. So I think that's a really good opportunity for Laviska Shenault. The Jags also have 240 available targets. That's also good news for him. That's second most in the league. And yes, I understand they added Marvin Jones, but, you know, reports are indicating that Laviska Shenault has actually, you know, had made it a point where they're thinking that he's going to be overtaking DJ Chark as the number one wide receiver. So, you know, Laviska Shenault being the one, Chark being the two, and Marvin Jones being the third guy in the slot. I mean, this is going to be a good opportunity for Shenault. I mean, we saw how talented he was, but he did only play 14 games last season because of a hamstring injury. You know, a lot of reports are indicating, like, as well, that he's just been having a great offseason. So I hope all that is going to kind of carry us into the season this year. You know, he did have 14% of the target share, right? So he tied with Keenan Cole with 5 receiving touchdowns in the red zone. He led the receivers, he led all the receivers on the Jacksonville Jaguars for yards with for each target. He led the yards after the catch for each reception. I mean, when you have the most yards per target. You got, you know, you give you the most yards, you know, after the catch. I mean, that's huge for a player that's going to be a playmaker and do a lot of things after fact. That's why AJ Brown is such a good wide receiver, because he gives you a lot of yak yards, and that's what you want, a wide receiver that's going to be hard to bring down and get you some hopefully long touchdowns. But the problem is last year that he had a below average, you know, quarterback play, right? You had to deal with Gardner Minshew, then there was Mike Glennon. So now that they got Trevor Lawrence, I mean, I'm really excited about what they can do. Trevor Lawrence and Laviska Shenault, so one of my top wide receivers as well. Now I'm going to go to my second wide receiver, and I got Brandon Ayuk here. You know, his average draft position right now is 63 overall. He's ranked around 25. So, you know, a lot of people are thinking he's about a wide receiver two on that fringe. You know, last year he finished as a wide receiver 36. He has 60 receptions on 96 targets for 748 yards and 5 touchdowns. He gave you 77 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns. You know, he did lead the team with 17.8% of the target share. He led the team in red zone and end zone targets and touchdowns. You know, the 49ers are also one of those teams that have a lot of available targets. They have about 193 available targets. You know, he played 87% of the snaps. Now, you know, I do think that when it comes to the wide receivers in general for the 49ers, I do believe that Brandon Ayuk is the guy that I want. I really don't care for Deebo Samuel. I think he's talented. I don't think he's a guy that I'm going to be like, I need to have him on my roster. I think Brandon Ayuk is that guy. And I think he's a guy that you can get late in the draft. Not too late, but maybe, you know, to the point where you're not overreaching for Brandon Ayuk. And also, too, like, but the assumption is we're going to assume that, like, George Kittle is going to be the top, you know, target. You know, he's going to lead the targets for them, right? Because he has been, because he is a very dynamic tight end, almost like a Travis Kelce. So that's, you know, that's something that could bring down his ceiling a little bit. But also, too, you got to think about what happens with the Jimmy Garoppolo and the Trey Lance as a starter. Like, who's going to be the guy? You know, that's something that makes me concerned, too, when you have a possible rookie quarterback or a quarterback change halfway through the season. So it's yet to be determined what's going to happen with that. But regardless, I do like Brandon Ayuk as a very good value here. And then my last wide receiver I have here is Mike Williams of the Los Angeles Chargers. His ADP right now is at 141. His average ranking is at 55. Now, last year he finished as a wide receiver 47. He had 48 receptions on 85 targets for 756 yards and 5 touchdowns. You know, I do think this is a huge opportunity for Mike Williams for this year since Hunter Henry went to New England. You know, his departure does create overall for the Chargers. Gives you 136 targets available. So, you know, we know what Mike Williams is. I've never seen Mike Williams catch a ball normally. He's always dropping, you know, in the air, making these, you know, crazy catches. I mean, he's super athletic. He's a monster down the field. You know, he is a guy that I like watching to play because he's super athletic. But, you know, even last year, he was on the team with 50% of the target share. Now, if you look at what he did last year, now he was the guy that led the team in average depth of target with 15.78 yards. And then per reception, he was at 15.75. So they pushed the ball downfield with him. You know, when you look at what he did also too, comparable to Keenan Allen, right? So Keenan Allen is the top guy there, right? So you look at what they did, but if you look at the red zone and end zone targets, they're pretty comparable. Now, Keenan Allen converted more of those, you know, into touchdowns, but they both were looked at pretty much the same from Justin Herbert last year. So there's opportunity there. So I think that you take away Hunter Henry and now you have Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. I think there's more opportunity there for them to be a really good value there for Mike Williams. So, you know, it's one of those things where does he finally come into that player that we're hoping for when he got drafted? Because there's a lot of potential there. We obviously can see the talent there. Now, opportunity is there for him. So hopefully Mike Williams becomes that guy that really takes that step forward this year in 2021. All right, now lastly, we're going to go to the tight end position. So I only have two guys here. It's just one of those things where just trying to look at where the tight ends are being drafted at compared to if you're getting really good value out of them. I didn't really see a lot of guys that stuck out to me on the list. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you two guys that I do think have a potential to be those sleepers this year at the tight end position. So my first guy I have is Adam Trautman. So he's a guy that is the tight end for the New Orleans Saints. Right now, he's being drafted at 188. His average tight end ranking right now is 24. So, you know, when I look at tight end positions, I try to figure out, like, there's an age where I feel like tight ends tend to be where they start peaking, right? And they're, if they're there and there's obviously opportunity, you know, usually their peak age for a tight end round is between 25 and 31 years of age. So we're seeing that a lot with like Kelce and Gronk and all those guys that kind of started, you know, pretty around that range where they are just dominant. Kelce is now in the latter part of that age and he's still dominant. So, but when it comes to Adam Trautman, right, he is a guy that has opportunity there, right? So we have no idea what this offense is going to look like under Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill, but there needs to be a guy that steps up to be that third option for the offense, right? You have Emmanuel Sanders gone, Jared Cook is gone. Now, behind Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara, like the two definite target leaders on that team, who's it going to be, right? So, you know, with Trautman, I think there's an opportunity there. I think that, you know, with the Saints having 174 targets available because of the departures of Sanders and Cook, I mean, you got to think about it. Jared Cook was third last year in target share for the Saints. So if, I know Jared Cook was very, you know, very kind of up and down last year, like he usually is, but I do think that because how young he is, I mean, he is 24, so he's kind of right before that peak age for tight ends. But I do think that because of the opportunity there, where I think that because of the tight end position for the Saints, it's going to be a part of the offense. It has to be. I mean, Jameis Winston, you know, has a strong arm. He can push the ball down the field, but he always needs that guy that's going to be that safety net. So that's either going to be Alvin Kamara or the tight end position. It's always a tight end is always a friend to the quarterback that needs to be bailed out. So I think that there's that chance there. And, you know, there's a good opportunity there. There's not a lot of stats on him at all. You know, he had minimal targets last year. He only had one touchdown. So there's nothing really to go on other than the assumption that because of the departure of those guys, that he becomes a guy that can be, you know, a sleeper this year. So, and he's a guy too. If you draft him and he does nothing, you probably got him super late in the draft. You can try to find someone else you can stream. But I think that Adam Trautman has a chance to be a guy that could definitely get you some value, especially if you miss out on the Kittles, the Kelces, or Wallers. I mean, after that, it's a crapshoot for tight ends. So why not take a chance, see what happens, and go from there. And now my last tight end for 2021 is my sleeper is Adam Frixer. So he's a Tennessee Titans tight end. Now last, you know, he was right now being drafted at 219. His average rank is at 24. So he's being ranked below Trautman. So that's interesting to me, especially this is in PPR formats. If you think about what happened, I mean, Jonnu Smith went to the New England Patriots. He signed a big deal with them, which gives Anthony Frisker a opportunity to be a huge sleeper this year, right? So he is 26 years old. So that falls into the age gap of, you know, peak time for tight end. And then, yes, I understand that the Titans did, you know, go out and get Julio Jones. I get that. But I don't think that Julio Jones will overtake A.J. Brown for targets. I think that he will receive the same amount of targets that Corey Davis got last year, which he was second in the league, or second on the Tennessee Titans, I mean. And then he had about 22% of the target share, speaking of Corey Davis. So I don't think that Julio Jones is going to take all the targets away from everyone else. I think that the target share will still be pretty much the same throughout. And what I do like about this is that last year, Jonnu Smith was third on the team at 13.7% of the target share. And actually, Anthony Frisker was part of the offense. He was fourth at 11.6%. So, you know, if you look at Frisker, he had 50 targets. Smith had 63. So they used him a lot. But also what I do like about this is that Frixer was eighth in, you know, in top eight in tight end slot routes. So like, that's also good as well. So, I mean, you look at, they try to use him down the seam in the middle of the field. I mean, I always love when I see Titans lined up in the slot, and obviously he was lined up, you know, he had like 20 more receptions in the slot than Jonnu Smith. So I know different, you know, different schemes and all that stuff. But I think this creates a huge mismatch, you know, for the opposing defense. You know, he was involved last year and he got 50 targets. So I'm not saying he's gonna get all the 63 targets from what the departure of Jonnu Smith brings, but this gives opportunity for him to be able to be a very good value. I think has more upside than Adam Trautman does, but you know, that's one of those things where it's yet to be determined. But I like Anthony Firkser right now for a very good draft day value. So those are all my sleepers for 2021. You know, to recap, my quarterback position, I got Carson Wentz, Trevor Lawrence, Daniel Jones. At running back, I got Mike Davis, Chase Edmonds, Myles Gaskins. At wide receiver, I got LaVisca Chenault, Brandon Ayuk, Mike Williams. And at tight end, I got Adam Trautman and Anthony Firkser. So what do you think of the sleepers? Do you think that you can see the justification with the guys I picked? You know, who are your sleepers? Who are you trying to target? You know, leave a comment below and let me know. But like I said earlier in the podcast, if you want to see some of the mock drafts to kind of see how I process mock drafts, go to YouTube, hit subscribe. And I'm gonna try to do every single Monday upload a new mock draft. But if you also got questions, please email me at chip@gridironfantasyfootball.com. I always leave the email down in the subscription, so you can just hit the link and send me an email. All right, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. So please like, comment, and share the videos. And on the next episode, I'm going to talk about and reveal my overvalued players for 2021. So don't miss that next week. So hit subscribe so you don't miss that. And then if you want to follow us on social media, you can find us over on Facebook and Twitter at The Gridiron Pod, and on Instagram at Gridiron Fantasy Football. So that's it for today. Thank you so much. And I'll be back on Monday with my next mock draft for 2021.